This is what Dave Portnoy calls an emergency podcast. I think it needs to be done. You know, we lost a great one, Eddie Van Halen. My first concert I ever went to, my older brothers took me. Van Halen was opening for Black Sabbath. I was 12 years old. And Van Halen's first record just came out. And my brothers, we didn't know who Van Halen was, but they went out and got their album. It was out maybe like 3 months. They weren't a big band yet. They maybe had two singles out at the time, You Really Got Me and Running With the Devil maybe. And they were just starting to slowly break, but I knew the whole record front and back because I had nothing else going on in my childhood. It's just to listen to heavy metal music in my room and just, you know, have this is where that anger and rage was born. You know, being in Catholic school, being angry, not getting laid, you know, not being able to masturbate because I thought I was going to go to hell. So I would just listen to heavy metal and hard rock music. And I went to Madison Square Garden. My brothers took me. And at 12 years old, Van Halen was the first band I ever saw on stage live. That was also the first time I ever smoked pot at 12 years old because that's what you did. You know, you would sit in a row. We were up in the nosebleeds. And you would sit in a row and someone would light up a joint and you would just pass it down the row to complete strangers and everyone would take a hit. It got to me and I just looked at my older brothers and they shrugged their shoulders like, okay. And I took two hits of weed at 12 years old. Meanwhile, you know, my kid is 10 years old and when he drinks a Coke, I get mad at him. I can't imagine him smoking weed at 12, but I'll deal with that in a couple of years. He's 10. I'll have to worry about that. But listen, I was a huge Van Halen fan. One of my favorite bands. Not my favorite, but one of my... I saw them pretty much on every tour up until they got... Until they broke up. You know, I saw them there, and then I saw them on the second tour, Convention Hall in Asbury Park on the Van Halen 2 tour. I saw them the third, Women and Children. You know, the one thing about a Van Halen concert is... There was men and women there. Girls would go see Van Halen. It brought everyone together. They were like an all-American party band is what they were. You know, I'd go see Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, Ozzy, Dio, Motorhead. You know, there'd be 10 girls at a show. You go to a Van Halen show, the girls liked Van Halen and the guys liked Van Halen. Like, that was the one band that was a crossover. And no one would make fun of you that you like Van Halen. When you were a kid, that was the one band. Like if I came in school with a Judas Priest shirt up, you're like, oh, Judas Priest, what do you worship, the devil? Van Halen, everybody liked them. They wrote great, catchy songs. You know, and just Eddie and Dave, you know, you had those two big personalities on stage. Dave, one of the best frontmen of all time. And then you had Eddie. You know, I don't know where he ranks as a guitar player. I'm not a guitar player, so I don't know that. You know, Jimi Hendrix, Jimmy Page, Eddie Van Halen, Eric Clapton are the four that I hear. To me, Eddie was the best. You know, Randy Rhoads, I'd like to throw in there too, but he just didn't have a long enough career. You know, tragically died in a plane crash at 25, so he really only put like three records out, two with Ozzy, one with Quiet Riot, whatever. So I can't put him in the mix. But Eddie pretty much changed the way people play guitar. Like in the beginning, Eddie would turn his back during his solo to the crowd and face the speaker because he didn't want other guitar players in the crowd copying what he was doing up there on guitar because he was paranoid about that. Every 80s band, all those 1980s, you know, hard rock bands, the Rats and the Poisons and all that, they were all influenced by Eddie Van Halen. You know, they got a lot of flack, the hair bands in the 80s, you know, because they wore the makeup and the hairspray and all that stuff, and they were pretty boys. But they were really good musicians, all of those guys. That got overlooked because they had all that other stuff going on, but that was the back end. That's what they did on him to get on MTV. You had to look like that. But every one of those guitar players would say that they, you know, or Eddie Van Halen was a huge influence on them. Look, I was in the Van Halen fan club as a kid. I had a Van Halen necklace. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm probably 14 years old. Me and my friend Tony are in his room. I think we just got high. And we're cranking Van Halen and playing air guitar to it. I was using a hammer as a guitar. And we're just running around like two fucking idiots in the middle of New Jersey with nothing going on. Nothing. So I remember... I did like a flip onto the bed with a hammer in my hand, like as a guitar, and the hammer hit my front tooth and it cracked my front tooth. That was when I was 14 years old. That front tooth has cost me between $15,000 and $20,000 over the years, all because I was air guitar into a Van Halen. It was cracked. Then I had to get a root canal, a cap, then this, then that. No, it's not good. You got to do this. It's a front tooth. Here's another cap. Here's another root canal. We got to take it out, maybe put a bridge in. $15,000 to $20,000 over the years because I was air guitar into a Van Halen song. It was probably Eruption by Eddie Van Halen. But it was well worth it. You know what I mean? It's just a great memory. Even every time I'm in that dentist chair and they're giving me Novocaine and sticking needles in my mouth, I'm like, ah, it was all because of that moment. Look, David Lee Roth, phenomenal front man. Him and Eddie always had their issues. You know, they were fighting this and that. You know, two big personalities like that. Dave is one of the reasons, going to see Van Halen was one of the reasons I became a comic, because Dave would tell these funny stories in between the songs. Dave would go on the talk shows because he did a lot of the press, and he would tell these funny stories. But just in concert, after they play like three songs, and Dave would do like a 4-minute, story or some funny story about something or whatever. And that really, I was like, man, I don't know how to, I'm not a musician. I don't have an ear for music. I have no idea how to play, but I need to get up on stage. And it was just fascinating because he had 20,000 people in the palm of his hand laughing at whatever story he was telling. That really influenced me to, that made me at some point, years later, get up on stage and do comedy because of going to see Van Halen every tour. Look, I was more of a David Lee Roth fan, Van Halen era, than the Sammy Hagar stuff. To me, it was a different band. They got way more commercial when Sammy joined the band. But, it just came to a head. It was almost a bad divorce. You knew it was coming. There was always rumblings of problems after like maybe the fourth record. The first four Van Halen records, absolute masterpieces. Masterpieces. And all those records, those old Van Halen records, none of them are more than 35 minutes long. I love that about it. 9 or 10 songs, put your best 9 or 10 on there. No filler. I don't need 14 songs. That was the kind of band you put that album on. You didn't have to skip one song. You flip it over, you didn't have to skip one song. Whether you listen on CD, whatever it is, you didn't have to go, the next two songs suck. Let me move on to this song. Every song was great. 1984 was the last record they put out with Dave before they broke up. Jump, Panama, Hot for Teacher was huge. And then Dave decided to do a solo career. There was all this bad blood. They got Sammy in the band. Look, Van Halen sold more records with Sammy Hagar with in the band than they did with David Lee Roth. That was the, MTV days. So, Van Halen with Sammy Hagar, they would share those videos and they wrote catchy songs, but it was definitely more of a commercial band, I thought. Even though the song Jump is one of the most commercial songs ever. And Eddie wanted to add some keyboards to Van Halen at that point in 1984. I saw him a bunch of times. I saw him on their reunion tour. The best was 2006. They got back together. They didn't have Michael Anthony back in the band. They had Wolfgang. Eddie basically said, Wolfgang, his son, the only kid he had with Valley Bertinelli. Wolfgang was probably 16, 17 at the time, convinced his dad, Dad, let's go out and tour. What are we doing? Come on. And then Eddie goes, well, I'll only tour, get Van Halen back together if Wolfgang, my son, I could play bass with my son and tour with him. I wasn't crazy about it being a Van Halen song. Michael Anthony was the original bass player. He was around. He could have done it. But that was the only way to get Eddie to do the tour. So I'm like, all right, I'm all for it. And, to get back together with David Lee Roth. Bad blood for years and years between those two. They finally get it together. I went to the second show down in Philadelphia, and I'll never forget they played the first song. It might have been You Really Got Me. About 2 minutes into the song, they completely just stopped, and Dave and Eddie went over and hugged each other. I almost cried. I mean, I just had the chills. It was just such an amazing moment. And they probably did that every night at a tour. But still, just to see them finally fucking getting along and then doing like 27 songs that night. This is a rough one, man. 65 years old, that's not old. There's still guys out there touring, doing 70, 71, 72, doing it, I almost feel like I lost a best friend because I grew up with this band. you know, even though Eddie was older than me, obviously, but it really feels like I lost a friend. I'm like, holy shit, man, it's fucking, you know, it's a, it was a tough one. You know, in 2012, they got back together. They put a record out, A Different Kind of Truth, with Wolfgang on bass. You know, before I even get to that, the one thing I always was annoyed with the Van Halen, you know, and Eddie and Alex always stuck together, the two brothers. So whatever Eddie did, Alex, like, okay, I'll back you up. They were pretty much dormant music-wise from 1998 to 2012. They didn't put any, they put three songs out for a greatest hits album with Sammy Hagar. But other than that, they would just, there was nothing going on in a Van Halen camp. And I was like, man, he's just wasting these years. You know, that he could be productive and putting music out. You always wanted to hear music from Eddie Van Halen, whatever he was doing. You know, he helped write some of the greatest songs ever in American history. And it was frustrating that they didn't do anything. And then, you know, they got back together. They did the tour with Wolfgang. And then 2012, they put a record out with David Lee Roth. And it was a lot of old ideas, like old riffs laying around from back in the early late 70s, you know, when they were with David Lee Roth, some stuff that they just never got to. They pieced together. It was a great record, A Different Kind of Truth. They, you know, and Wolfgang basically convinced Eddie, his dad, again. He goes, come on, let's put a record out and go tour. You know, so that was the last music that they put out, was in 2012. You know, they played this special show in 2012 with the record coming out at the Cafe Wa in the Greenwich Village in New York City. David Lee Roth, that was his old stomping grounds. He used to hang out there as a kid. And they invited only press only to the show. The place only holds like 100 people. It's this really small club, legendary club. And I got invited to it. Me and my friend Jim Norton got invited to it as press. And I brought my recorder with my Zoom recorder. That's the recorder I used to record all my old podcasts on before I came over to Barstool. And I just put it on the table, and I was 15 feet away from the stage because the place is so small. And Van Halen did like an hour and 20-minute set. And you were allowed to record because it was four. And they did like three new songs. So I just had my recorder on the table, and I'm like, whatever. I just record and see what happens. And then I wound up doing a podcast about it. I reviewed the show, and I played a couple of songs on my podcast off my recorder. It wasn't any of the new songs because the album wasn't out yet. I go, I don't want to piss Van Halen off if it ever gets back to him, which it won't. I'm like, Van Halen's not going to listen to my podcast. But I said, let me put some two old songs out. I put that audio out. My podcast went through the roof. I don't know what happened. It got on these Van Halen message boards and all around the world. All these Van Halen fans heard that audio, and it came out really well. The spot I was sitting in, my recorder, and I got offers for like $5,000 for the whole audio of that show from these Van Halen freaks, and I just turned it down. I'm like, I don't want to piss the band off. Someone might put this out as an album, and then it gets back to me. Like, I was really nervous about that. So, and the greatest part about that show was the place is so small, so there's no backstage. So, like, David Lee Roth loves to tell stories in between songs, and especially when he grew up there and he saw all these acts play there. So, you know, after three or four songs, Dave would go on and tell some story for like 7 to 10 minutes of him, you know, seeing whoever, Richard Pryor there, and all the Bob Dylan when he was a kid sitting in the booth right over there. And Eddie and Wolfgang, and even, you know, and Alex behind the drums, they couldn't leave the stage. You know, when Dave used to do that back in the day, they go backstage, they get a drink, you know, towel off or whatever. They had to stand there and wait because there was nowhere for them to go. And I'm just focusing on Eddie the whole time because he's got this fake smile on, and you could tell, like, under his breath, he's like, all right, shut the fuck up. Can we please play another song? All right, come on. Come on already. Me and Jim Norton were dying. I'm like, look at Eddie's face. He's miserable. But he put that fake smile on and just stood there for, like, sometimes 8 to 10 minutes at a time. Like, he might have did it, like, two or three times, Dave telling the story. Dave's a phenomenal storyteller, nothing against him, but it was just so funny watching Eddie going, come on, dude, let's fucking, now I know why we always had this bad blood. Let's just fucking play some songs. Getting back to that audio, so I put that out, you know, the two songs. 4 months later, my manager calls me up, he goes, hey, I heard from the Van Halen camp. They want to talk to you about that audio that you released from their Cafe Wa show. My heart dropped. That was my worst nightmare. I'm like, Van Halen's going to be mad at me. I'm like, holy shit. They go, they heard it, especially Dave, and they want to archive that show and he wants to know what you recorded that on, where you recorded it, where were you sitting, and how much money you want for that recording, because they want the full show. I don't know how someone heard it from Van Halen. I have no clue, but 4 months later, I'm like, I was like, holy shit. I go, I don't want any money for it. I told it, so my manager got back to him, and Van Halen's management just said, okay, listen, we're going to send Jim a whole big box of merchandise, Van Halen merchandise, for it, and he has free tickets to any Van Halen show for the rest of his life. Whatever show he wants to come with, we hook him up. I got a big, huge box of Van Halen merchandise sent to my door 2 days later, and then I hit him up like 5 years later. They played in, what, it was like 2014 or whatever, and or 16, I'm not sure. And I hit Van Halen management up. I had two eighth-row tickets to see Van Halen. I took my kid, and he saw Eddie right up front. Phenomenal. I don't know. I think that's it, man. I just, the guy was unbelievable. Just, you know, the cigarette at the end of the guitar, him just riffing, you know, tapping that guitar, coming up with that hammer or whatever the fuck it's called. I'm not a guitar player. You know, you didn't know who to focus on when you were on stage, when you were watching Van Halen. Was it David Lee Roth or was it Eddie? That's what, you know, what an amazing band they were. Just in a, you know, the best American rock and roll party band of all time is what I call them. You know, you want to put them in the hard rock category, that's fine. But that, to me, that's what they were. You know, I only met Eddie Van Halen one time. I went to Dimebag Darrell's funeral and his memorial, and Eddie showed up 6 months before they became friends. Dimebag was a huge fan of the of Eddie. I guess Van Halen came through Texas, and they went to the show, and they became friends. And then Dime, you know, tragically got killed six months later. Eddie showed up at the funeral, and I think it was the guitar that he's holding on the back of Van Halen 2 with this red guitar. Eddie actually brought that guitar with him and put it in Dimebag's coffin, and Dimebag got buried with Eddie Van Halen's red famous guitar off the back of the Van Halen 2 record. Dimebag would have loved that. I mean, you know, Eddie was his idol, and that was the only time I met him. He never came on that metal show. Eddie, you know, Eddie was always press shy. He did Howard Stern a bunch of times. He was friends with Howard, but he really didn't do too much press. You know, it was always the front man. It was Sammy or Dave or something like that. But he never came on there, but I did meet him that one time. And, you know, it's a fucking shame, man. It really sucks. I don't know. That's all I got. I got, $15,000 worth of dental work because of Van Halen. It's the first time I ever smoked weed. First band they ever saw, ever, on stage. And there was finally girls at a concert that I went to. Because every other band that I liked, there was maybe five girls there. That's it.